Good morning. Welcome to the Roundtable and our book pick segment. We are always thrilled to have the book pick segment because we get two incredible booksellers, sometimes more, sometimes less, but usually two, to come in and to tell us really cool books that are on store shelves and things that people can find. It's summer reading time. It's a great time to find really wonderful books that perhaps you want to take with you on a vacation or just by a lake or a body of water or, hell, just, you know, sitting in the laundromat waiting for the clothes to dry. It doesn't
as
really matter. Exactly. We welcome, this is terrific, Jim. Jim Havener is with us from Green Toad Bookstore in Oneonta, New York. Jim, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Good morning.
And Cheryl McCann is with us from the Bookhouse in Albany and Market Block Books in Troy, New York. Good morning to you.
Good morning.
Wonderful to have you here. All right, Jim, we'll let you begin.
Okay. My first book I have today is The Counting Game. It's by Sinead Nolan. It's an Irish mystery. It's a debut novel. And it talks about, it's Ireland in 1995, and a 13-year-old Sharshay Kellogg goes missing after she walks into a nearby woods with her brother. And there's a kind of local folklore that, you know, the woods are dangerous and that type of a thing, but it's 1995. And Sharshay does not come back, but her brother Jack does. And this, of course, creates a clear kind of crisis, and eventually they have to bring in a psychotherapist to actually talk to Jack because he is silent about what's happened here. So it's an exciting book. It's got some real drama to it. And I think this debut novel, who's by Sinead Nolan, is very similar to Tanya French and Liz Moore.
Oh, great. Good stuff. All right. The Counting Game, Sinead Nolan. Next.
Okay. My first book today is Etna by Paul Yoon. Last winter when I was here, we talked about The Best Dog in the World, that charming essay collection collected by Alice Hoffman of authors writing about their dogs. And the last essay in that book was Paul Yoon's essay on his dog, Oscar. It was a memorable, thoughtful contribution about his affection and his stories of living with his dog. So when I saw that his forthcoming novel, Etna, was narrated by the titular character, I couldn't wait. And Etna exceeds my expectations. One of the things that I love about this book is its look. And I know we don't judge books by their covers, but we do have to talk about them. And it's about a military dog.
Yep.
And the title is written on a cover that's kind of a khaki military green.
That's right.
And it's printed in like the stencil of a military label. So it says from the outset, before you even pick this book up, this is a book about a military situation. Etna is a dog that tells the story. It's narrated by him. He communicates with other characters through thought. Etna is an ex-military dog. A war has just ended. It's an unnamed country at the end of an unspecified war. It is current. We have drones, so we know that it's a fairly recent war, but it is unnamed. When the war is over, he has decided to leave the soldiers that he has served with and fought alongside and try to find his way home to the farm where he was born next to the sea. And I'm going to rely on a very popular metaphor right now. It is kind of like the Odyssey. He is trying to find his way home. His hopeful journey takes him through ruined landscapes, around treacherous obstacles. He finds others, kindred spirits, animals, and humans, looking for ways to start anew. Some of these he can communicate with. Some of these he can't. The horrors of war are vivid, but Etna perseveres. Yoon's slim parable speaks to never giving up and to finding hope in the darkest of times.
I can't wait to read this book. I have it. It's on the nightstand, and I look forward to picking it up. Paul Yoon's Etna, which is now out.
Oh,
or will be out
Tuesday.
Soon.
I'm sorry. It comes out August 4th.
Comes out August 4th, mm-hmm. Tuesday. August 4th. Excellent. Aetna by Paul Yoon. Hello, Jim.
Hello. My next book is The Mortons. It comes out today. It is a epic murder mystery family centered around the Mortons. And the Mortons are a modern-day old money dynasty. And they do everything right, wear the right clothes, drink the right drinks. And they, along with other crime families, send their progeny to Hellshire College, where legacy students learn to exercise control over their wealthy peers. And Jessica Morton has always excelled at Hellshire, and she's sure in the knowledge that she's the progeny of her generation. Now, having committed her first kill, it should be Jessica's moment, her honor. But that kill will cut more ways than one. It's a kind of a whodunit. It kind of reminds me of a little bit of Agatha Christie, you know, of a group of people and who's committed the murder and who hasn't committed the murder. But murder is definitely one of the things that they pride themselves on. It's written by two writers who've done a lot of young adults. At least the wife has, Justine Lorbastier, I believe. Is that how you say it? And then Scott Westerfield, who's written many books. And they're a married couple and written this book together. And I think it'll be a good summer read to... you know, if you want to brush up on your killing abilities.
You know. I mean, no, but you know. The Mortons by Justin. Oh, now see, I got into this. It's Scott Westerfield and Justine.
Lebastier.
Oh, all right. I like that pronunciation better than what I was coming up with. Good. The Mortons is the name of the book. Okay, Cheryl.
My next title is The Dog of the North by Elizabeth Mackenzie. And surprise, surprise, it is not a book about a dog.
Oh, okay.
No. It's not a dog, but a sea green van with gingham curtains, a pinata, and stiff brakes. This is a paperback published in 2023. And it's a boisterous novel. It follows likable narrator Penny Rush and her quest to untangle generations of family idiosyncrasies and puzzles, ever hopeful that she might discover a path to happiness. Now, this is also a journey plot, a little different from Aetna's journey plot. It involves Penny's trip to Santa Barbara from San Jose. She has been summoned to attempt to sort out her 85-year-old grandmother's situation. The situation being a euphemism for the home of a hoarder who has a gun, by the way. It follows a Meals on Wheels incident. Grandmother Pinsir is a researcher. She's a doctor. Her collection includes a literal skeleton in the woodshed. It's fun. It's raucous. It's darkly humorous, thoroughly winsome, and perfect for a smart vacation read. And there is a dog. He's not the dog of the North, but he is a dog. I won't spoil the surprise.
Okay. Excellent. The Dog of the North, and the book is by Elizabeth Mackenzie. It's out from Penguin, and great stuff. All right.
Okay, brand new book out today, The Cool Machine by Colson Whitehead. And it's the third book in the trilogy that Colson has been writing about for the past several years. It deals with the 80s in New York when Reagan's president and money's starting to pump into the city from the 70s. And we get back with Ray Carney, our faithful furniture salesman and master fencer. He followed the law of his father. So Ray has his furniture business is doing fantastic in that, but the bank won't give his wife Elizabeth, his beloved wife, money to start a travel agency business. So he has to do one more fence to be able to get the money to put together. It puts him in contact with his friend and partner in crime, the sociopath Pepper, and even his son of his cousin who. His cousin who passed away in one of his earlier books on this in this trilogy. It's the the prose is perfect. The city, it comes alive. It's just a classic Colson Whitehead, and I think it wraps up the trilogy really, really well.
I love this book so much. In fact, I'm interviewing him in about 17 minutes.
Oh,
and,
my gosh.
For tomorrow's show. And because he's doing an event at UPH in Saratoga, and he'll be talking about the book, and that's very exciting at the Universal Preservation Hall in Saratoga Springs, and so we're very excited to have him. I thought the he had me at the I'm blanking on the word the dedication. He had me at the dedication. Jim's now going to check on the dedication, but Jim, promise me you're not going to read the dedication because I'm not going to read it. You're not allowed to read
I'm
it.
I'm not allowed to read it. Oh, that's very good. I like that too.
It's a good, yeah. So, isn't that great? It just sort of gets you right there. It's perfect.
Right.
Colson Whitehead, the name of the book is Cool Machine and is the wrap-up of a terrific trilogy. Sure.
Well, I know I'm going straight back to Bookhouse, opening Cool Machine and reading the dedication. So I can't wait. I have nothing to show today to the two of you sitting at the table with me because my next is an audio book. And it also comes with a confession. Somehow I never got around to reading Demon Copperhead.
Oh.
And see, you know, booksellers, I think, will understand this when a book sells itself and everybody's talking about it and everybody wants to read it and it's flying off the shelves. And so booksellers sometimes will step back and not read that book, you know, not give themselves that book because that book didn't need my help, for sure.
See, I felt that way about The Correspondence. I felt that way about Theo the Golden.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Good decisions.
Okay. Yeah. I did not feel that way about Demon Copperhead because that novel is just kick-ass brilliant.
That's exactly what I was going to say. Kick-ass brilliant. You're right. As proven by the fact that it won the Pulitzer Prize, the Women's Prize for Fiction, and I think every best of list for 2022. But now I had to wait till the time was right. For some reason, the time was right, and I downloaded the audio. And I'm so glad that I downloaded the audio. I'm sure that reading it was a phenomenal experience, kick-ass experience.
Yes.
But the audio is perfect. I was prompted in part because the little plug for Perdita, which is Barbara Kingsolver's next novel, which we really think is going to be another Pulitzer Prize winner, and that comes out in October. So
right.
I thought, okay, you have no excuse now. You have to have Demon Copperhead in your experience. It is narrated by Charlie Thurston. He does Southern Appalachia perfectly. It, of course, is Demon himself narrates the book, as everybody else in the world knows. And Charlie becomes Demon so beautifully. It was as if I had to stop the video to sleep, for example, and then I couldn't wait to be with Demon again the next day. He, of course, is a tragic yet comedic character. Charlie Thurston captures this beautifully. If you're weeding the garden, if you're going on a long trip and you're driving and you need a companion, Charlie Thurston as Demon Copperhead is the man you want. And it is available from Libro FM, which will support your local independent bookstore.
Thank you.
Good stuff. And yes, I listened to it and read it, and it's really a wonderful, it's still with me after all these years. Great stuff.
It's a great upstate novel.
It really is. well, I mean, it is. It hits all the points, doesn't it?
It does.
Demon Copperhead by Barbara Kingsolver, and Perdita comes out in October, the new novel from Barbara Kingsolver, which is always an event. All right, Jim.
Okay, I always bring a history, and this history I brought is called Two Ships by David Reynolds, one of my favorite historians. He teaches at CUNY. He's written a lot of things. I remember the first thing I read about him was Walt Whitman, A Cultural History. I thought it was a fantastic take on New York and Whitman and the life of the early Republic in America. He wrote another really great book on, and many books have been written on Lincoln. Abe Lincoln, A Cultural Life. I thought that was fantastic. This book actually takes two ships. It takes the Mayflower, who came to Massachusetts in 1620, and the White Lion, which brought the first enslaved Africans to Jamestown in 1619. So these two ships, of course, in the 17th century, kind of look at, they these two groups of people. The Puritans come out of the English Civil War. The Royalists come out of the English Civil War, and they transport themselves to America. And these two ships kind of show the North and the South. They become identified with the North and the South. And during our turbulent decades before the Civil War, they really become kind of a leaf motif for each side in that. But what happens is after the Civil War, as we kind of go down the pathway of Jim Crow, the metaphor of the ships kind of fall asleep. And the Mayflower becomes a symbol of a national holiday, a Thanksgiving. And it loses its status as a cultural touch point as it did before the Civil War, and becomes kind of an idea for all Americans. When actually, in the same time, what has been going on is that these two ships, enslaved Africans, brought to the South to work in these fields, and the Puritans, who brought their religion that was dissident from the established religion, these two ideas still exist in our America today. Yeah. And they are intertwined in what we have today in our interpretation of American history right now. And Reynolds is a great narrative historian, and I really like the way that he brings to life not only the facts of the time period, but the ideas of the time period. So, Two Ships by David Reynolds.
All right, great stuff. Mm. Thank you, Jim. Cheryl.
Okay, I'm going to move into picture book territory now. The first is Story Rug by Sophie Blackall. And I'll show you two who are sitting here.
Aw.
I know. It just came out last week.
She lives down by Oneonta.
You took my next line.
Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
It's okay.
I'll shut up.
As some of us know, Sophie hosts Milkwood, a creative retreat in the Catskills.
Yeah.
So she is kind of a neighbor. And her earlier works are beloved at this point: Missed Connections for Adults, If I Was a Horse, Farmhouse, and many more. Story Rug is illustrated by Phoebe Wall, charming illustrations. It's a classroom with delightful children, diverse children. It's all very colorful. And in this classroom, they learn to braid. The story itself, the book, braids together the joy of storytelling with the satisfaction of learning a new craft. It tells the story of the fabric that makes up the rug that the kindergarten class eventually gathers on to hear their teacher read stories. And at the back of the book are simple directions inviting readers to braid their own rugs. And I really think this is appropriate for 5 and up. I think the kids can, once you can learn how to braid, if you have that the nimbleness in your fingers, you can braid, you can make a story rug, and I can see this being a summer activity for families.
That sounds so cool. Story Rug by Sophie Blackall. All right. Next, Jim.
The last book I brought with me is a sophomore effort called The Vivisectors by this young writer, Missouri Williams. And this is a really interesting book. It's a tight story about love, but it's wrapped up in a crumbling university that is kind of being taken over in the near future by vegetation and that. Society's starting to crumble a little bit. But at the same time, this woman is the narrator, is this secretary to the president of this university. And eventually there's a student that appears that this president takes under his wing and thinks he's a brilliant person, a brilliant student. And then there becomes a heated conflict with a younger professor of discrimination. And both men claim discrimination. And in the narrator, the woman who narrates the story, she actually eventually becomes to befriend Adam, the student. And she kind of really finds out what discrimination means to many different people. And there's a love story wrapped up in this. It's very, very well written. The prose is very tight. I think this woman is really going to become a really incredible writer. She kind of reminds me of Rachel Kushner. But one thing about her is that she's really been touted by Paul Lynch, one of my favorite Irish writers,
oh,
Prophet
he's great.
Song. And he's really on Missouri Williams. And I think if you get a chance, this might be something you might not want to read at the beach, but at the same time, it might be something you want to read when you're laying in the hammock in the backyard.
Good stuff. It is The Vivisectors by Missouri Williams. All right.
My last selection is Mouse's Wood by Alice Melvin. This is a departure for me because I am not predisposed to reading stories with rodent protagonists. But I became smitten with Scottish author-illustrator Alice Melvin's hero, Mouse. Now, this is soon to be a series of four. This installment of Mouse's Adventures is a heartwarming celebration of slow living in nature. Mouse's journey from friend to friend maps out the changes in seasons from January through to December. And the author actually spent, I think, a year writing this book. She studied animals and plants native to Scotland. So it's one of those, it's a kind of a cross between a board book and a hardcover picture book. It's bigger than a traditional little board book, but it is illustrations are just full of details. So it's going to be a fun book to read and find the woodpecker and find the mushrooms and the different kinds of flowers. It's just lovely.
It looks beautiful.
The pictures include a lot of details of flora and fauna and pictures of Mouse and friends enjoying the outdoors, including hanging up clothes in the wind. It's really charming. It has tiny little doors, the board book edition, that open to reveal even more stories. So there are stories within stories in the board book. Mouse Goes to the Mountains is the, and this is from the publisher, hotly anticipated fourth installment in Alice Melvin's Mouse Adventures, and that will come out soon.
Excellent. The name of the book, and we can't wait, is Mouse's Wood by Alice Melvin, and a terrific collection of books from our two booksellers this morning. Anything you would like to add? Any events? Anything coming up? Anything that we should be aware of?
Well, we've had a very, very busy summer. We have thousands of people from all across the country, from Maui to Maine, coming to Cooperstown All-Star Village and Dreams Park, the baseball camps, and it's just wonderful meeting these people from all over the world that are coming into the store and discovering books and go, I have this bookstore in my community, but this is really nice to be able to find this here. So it's been a wonderful summer in that regards, and our welcome mat is still well open for all those people.
Very nice.
Yeah. We're looking forward to the New York State Writers announcing their fall schedule soon.
Oh.
You might know exactly when that is, but I know it's coming up.
It's a good one. It's a really good one. Yeah. That'll be very exciting and all kinds of events happening over the fall, and a great job by that team, as they are always wont to do. So my thanks to this wonderful team as well. You can go to the websites for these bookstores, greentoadbookstore.com. Jim Havener, thank you very much for being with us. Always
thank
a pleasure
you.
To have you here. Also, bhny.com to find out about what's going on at Market Block Books in Troy and the Bookhouse in Albany. Cheryl McCann, thank you very much.
Thank you. It was delightful as always.
Always a pleasure. If you want to see the list, all you have to do is go to wamc.org/roundtable. This list, all the lists are there. wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.